So, welcome to Slashcast. I'm Em Klutz.
I'm Prue.
And we're going to be talking about terrible things and amazing things in fandom this week.
Probably more terrible than amazing. And fair warning, we just came up with the title like 26 seconds ago. So, if you hate it, deal with it.
It's too bad, suckers. You're here now.
We're starting this inaugural episode with Suits.
Which we agreed was like a hotness factor of plus 500 or something.
Yeah, okay, so if watching Suits, we agreed that it needs to be graded within categories, right? It's unfair just to give it like a number or letter grade, since let's all agree that there are different levels of things that we're looking for from that show.
Absolutely.
So the categories were number one, hotness. Harvey's hotness.
10 out of 10.
It was originally a out of 5 scale. It's now become 10.
We can do 5.
We'll do 10. 10 is a good round number. So 10 out of 10. Yeah. Harvey hot.
You know, less gel. I don't know what they did to his clothes, but I like it. He was like high.
He was incredibly sassy this week. Like, this whole week, it felt like he was basically pausing in between takes to get a blowy from somebody. He was so loose, like...
You mean they finally finished the contract negotiations?
Saucy with everyone.
They finally finished the contract negotiations, and now Patrick What's-His-Face has to blow him between takes.
No, this is not like one of your terrible fandom dreams come true, okay?
You're welcome.
That's like not gonna happen.
No, I don't actually want that. I like the
don't
image.
Don't put that on me because someone will write it, and it's just gonna make me cry tears of blood.
Don't actually want it. I like the visual, but Patrick is way too much of a hipster, and, you know, What's-His-Face is, like, a super hot dad.
Like,
so.
when I realized Patrick Adams had his own Tumblr, and that, like, every picture he uploaded was from Instamatic, I was like, oh, dude.
Even better than that is the fact that you combine that with the title, like, that he gave himself on Tumblr, actor. comma, photographer. It just makes me so happy.
It's like how I tell everyone I've been a failed writer in progress since 1984. It's like the same level of douchery there.
I think it's actually a little more douchey because you would have a better time putting comma, photographer after your other credentials. It would be more accurate. It would.
Actually, true. Yeah.
He just, like, applies a hilarious filter to, like, a photo of him and Gabriel on set. And he's like, I'm such a good photographer. And I'm like, oh, Patrick, what are you doing?
At least he's good at acting. At least he's got that first part down.
He is good at acting. But you know how we decided that Mike is Harvey's sassy gay friend?
We decided that Harvey was sassy this week because Harvey's sassy gay friend had finally taken effect. So, yes.
Yes.
Mike's Harvey's sassy gay friend.
I feel like in real life, Patrick Adams needs fake Patrick Adams like Mike to be also his sassy gay friend.
I feel like this is reaching a level of meta that is worrisome and is going to turn into a Joss Whedon writing a Joss Whedon script.
He's like, I'm not a sassy gay friend, I just play one on TV. Like, it's that level of... I'm done with that.
Yeah, okay. Anyways, section number two was... Jessica badassery.
Which totally 10.
As per usual, 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
Like, that woman plays Lewis and Harvey like a fiddle. I don't know how they fall for it every time.
They get confused because she's so beautiful and badass, and they're just, like, distracted, and then suddenly they're doing what she wants them to do. Other than killing a dude.
Well, to be fair... Lewis didn't really kill that guy, but we'll get to that when we actually discuss the plot.
Okay.
Number three was Donna badassery. Donna's continued reign is, like, coolest lady at Kirsten Hardman.
Total cool. Like, I don't know why she and Jessica aren't BFFs.
I don't know either. Actually, I know why. Because Donna is one of those people who is great to watch in action, but I don't know if I would ever actually want to be friends with her.
Oh, yeah, I wonder if she might be too mean to me.
Yeah, she would, like, know too much stuff about you, and then at the last minute when you were least expecting it, you'll get a phone call at 3 being like, I have to go bury something, you're coming with me because I know about that thing you did last week. And you're like, fuck, let me get a shovel. I stopped having friends like that in college.
I was at a wedding, and we were discussing who you would call in the event that you need to bury a body. Like, disappear a body. Who would you call? And everyone says, you know, I would call this person, I would call that person. And my brother is sitting there, like, totally quiet. And all of a sudden he says, don't pick your best friend. Pick a person that you hate, but that likes you a lot. And we're like, why? And he's like, you get them to dig the hole with you, then you hit them over the head as well, throw them in, and fill it in. Problem solved. Yes.
I'm trying to, like, reconcile this with the image of your brother, and it's terrifying.
It's beautiful, isn't it?
It's way beautiful.
Yeah.
It's jacked up.
But it's, like, the perfect plan.
No, but he's right. Like, you can, more than one person can never keep a secret.
No, but if it's just you, if you kill the person who helped you bury a body, and bury them with that body...
Yeah.
Yes. To be fair, it's in a situation where you've already killed someone else.
We have to talk about something different. Okay, what was the third part of this
It was Donna's amazingness.
Okay, so Donna, amazing as usual. We'll give her, like, a 8 out of 10 or something.
Yes.
Because she wasn't making fun of Harvey's penis this week, which, you know, that's 10 out of 10 activity there. What was after Donna?
I think it might have been plot coherency.
Okay, let's talk about freaking plot coherency. Do you want to start?
Okay, so normally when I watch Suits, I have this problem where I love this show. I love it a lot. However, it's painful for me. The Hoyden and I both have to, like, cover our eyes. We frequently have to pause. We have to leave the room, do something else. Like, it's too stressful.
Generally, it has to be, like, a supervised viewing.
Yeah. I have to be on chat at the same time. Like, there are a bunch of requirements for watching Suits.
No, understood.
This week, I didn't have that. Like, I mean, obviously, I watched it with you, and we were talking during it. But I wasn't uncomfortable. Nothing squicked me. However, nothing made sense either.
Well, to give you some background on my personal Suits watching experience, MCLUTS like to say that I have the most hilariously embarrassing life of all time.
Accurate.
Which she discovered when one time she was complaining about something in one of my stories being, like, mortifying. And I said, I think my response was something along the lines of, that happened to me last week. It's not that big a deal. You just have to, like, soldier through it. And that sort of thing happens to me all the time. Something tremendously terrible. Like, a classic example was the day I wrote up, like, a grocery list. And on this was something, I think... three things on this, MCLUTS is already laughing. The three things on this grocery list were, I think, like, light bulbs, an eggplant, and condoms, and I left this on my keyboard at work. I don't have an office, and we don't have cube walls, it's kind of a very open floor plan, and everybody went past my desk. And so I remembered this when I got to work on Monday, and was like, oh, great. So, great.
You know the XKCD comic, where he says... it's like hobby number 10 or something. Standing in the vegetable aisle of the supermarket holding a tube of KY jelly looking contemplative.
Yeah, he does that on purpose.
You do that by accident.
I know. It's really great. But so, for me, in terms of how mortifying Suits is, it's a show to watch, it's really not that mortifying because half the stuff that Mike does, I've done it before. With the exception of getting caught with a giant suitcase full of weed.
So far.
I mean, I always have to have something to aspire to.
Yes.
So it's not mortifying for me, but the problem is that, generally speaking, the show is really entertaining. Like, I don't think I love it quite the way that you do, but the show is very, very entertaining for me. And this week was just dumb. Like, it had a C-plot that was running through it that was great. Like, all the little things that were unintentionally delightful. That are always unintentionally delightful throughout the show. But then, like, the major A plot and B plot was so, so terrifically stupid. And then they got crazy glued together for a Deus Ex hacker.
Nothing.
From the Hoyden.
Yeah. It just wasn't very coherent. Like, there are things that I loved in it. And they could have been put together into, like, a delightful sandwich of amazingness. And instead, it was kind of like, if you took all the parts of a sandwich and put them on a plate and handed it to someone... you're just like, oh, that's, it just doesn't work the same way. It doesn't have that same level of tastiness.
Yeah, it was also, and the problem with the episode was, and this may just be one of those, it could have been one of those episodes that made a lot of sense before it went into editing. Maybe it ran over long and had to cut out, like, a crucial 6 minutes that would have made it coherent. Doubtful.
We'll find out on the DVDs.
Pardon?
We'll find out on the DVDs.
Definitely. Or it could have been one of those things where the hacker story was one separate episode that got pitched, and this Lewis Litt and Harvey thing, which, by the way, we need to talk about because that was appalling. That Lewis Litt and Harvey thing was like a whole other episode that they pitched, and then they liked both but didn't have enough episodes, so they were like, let's tie these together and make sure that it sucks both. It sucks the life out of both episodes.
I'd just like to say that everyone is very lucky that they just missed this hand gesture that you just made. Because that's reminiscent of a whole other conversation that we're not going into right now. That can be a different day.
I don't even know what I was just doing. Like, that could have been, like, a sex thing, or it could have been something terrible.
You kind of tied something.
I tied something? I'm glad.
I'm not going to say.
But moving on. Yeah, I mean, I think that that was the most upsetting part of this episode, is you watch it, and you were sitting there anyway with anybody with a halfway decent mind for plot is sitting there thinking, I could have knit these two stories together much better, and it would have taken me 2 minutes, and almost the exact same things would happen, but would have happened in a way that made much more sense
and would have been more fun. I think
so too. I mean, I feel that you wouldn't have, it would have also left the door open so the hacker girl could come back had you decided you needed a convenient Deus hacker for, like, other things.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike needs his own people. Like, Harvey has people that he calls for shady stuff. Like, Mike needs people.
Here's an interesting thing. This is one of those things where I think fandom sees something in the show that the writers have missed. Because,
right,
obviously, I obsessively track the Suits meme. And I've seen, like, 7 prompts just this morning where Mike has friends who are crazy powerful or have done amazing things, like designers and computer programmers, like millionaires. They all want Mike to have helped important people in the past so that he can already have connections that are similar to Harvey's.
Oh, well, I feel like that's definitely desire and projection fandom.
Right.
But that, I don't necessarily believe that that's true.
I don't think he should have, like, millionaire friends. But he definitely needs more of a network, because you see all of the people that Harvey knows, and Mike knows Harvey and Rachel.
Mike is definitely heading toward classic setting yourself up for an abuse spiral situation, where his livelihood, stop laughing at me, you know I'm right, like, his livelihood is dependent on Harvey's goodwill.
Mm-hmm.
His in through the door was through Harvey. Harvey is his boss. Harvey is the person with the most power over him. He's also emotionally dependent on that guy. Like, let's, setting aside the fact that Mike is totally gay for Harvey's dick, like, he's completely emotionally dependent on him for his approval. And Harvey has to, on some level, protect him from other people within the firm.
Yeah.
And, you know, and has to educate him, because Mike is missing 4 years of actual procedural boring law school, as well as 4 years of summering that he was supposed to have done when he was in law school. So he's so vulnerable in this capacity. Like, I just want him to meet other people who are not Harvey, who are also going to help him out. Like, he needs people. Being in that position sucks, because then you spend all of your time, like, trying to win that one person's favor, which is so destructive and crazy.
I will say that this is why I like the idea of Mike and Lewis becoming
bros.
Like, bros. I don't want them to be, like, best friends or anything, but I want them to have, like, some mutual respect and admiration. Because we all know that Lewis is very capable, very smart, and admires qualities that Mike has. It just happens that Lewis is also a dumbass.
And a creeper. Which is why this episode was also really upsetting, because it framed him as a moron. Like, no one gets to be a junior partner at a major law firm in New York City by being an actual facts moron.
And he,
like,
absolutely,
that level of incompetence was ridiculous and completely insulting to the character.
Yeah, and we know that, like, Jessica says repeatedly that Lewis is amazing for the company. His billables are, like, through the roof.
Yes, and you don't get billables through the roof if you can't do basic things with your job.
Absolutely. So anyways, that's, like, why I want Mike and Lewis to be bros.
I want Mike and Lewis to be, like, bro bros.
Yeah. Well, I also
I
think that
to-
it would...
I want them to, like, go to the Hamptons together.
Oh, that'd be so creepy, like playing tennis in matching outfits and...
I want Louis to teach Mike how to play tennis.
That would be so beautiful.
Help sing.
I would like it if eventually Louis had a picture of himself and a picture of Mike on his desk as like his protege.
Like a small picture. Harvey would probably just be a jerk. You know what I bet? I bet you... Okay, so if this was going to happen, like in magical Peru fantasy land.
Yes.
So Louis puts up a picture of Mike, which Harvey doesn't notice forever, because why would Harvey ever be in Louis's office other than to steal his shit, to be an asshole, right? Because Harvey is totally that asshole.
Also, he's afraid of his secretary.
He is afraid of his secretary. Norma unnerves him. Mm-hmm. Anyways, so... Harvey eventually notices that there's a picture of Mike, and he's like, what the shit is this? And he confiscates it, because just like Louis isn't allowed to have Mike as an associate, Louis is not allowed to have Mike's picture, because that's Harvey's associate. No one's getting that. So he takes it, and he takes it back to his office. He's not going to put it on his desk or anything, because that's weird. But it's definitely not, you know, going to sit in Louis's. And then Louis finds out, and just, like, realizes instantly it had to be Harvey who took it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Stint inter-firm war, where they start drafting the interns and, like, the summers to, like, steal this photo back and forth. Mike has, like, no clue what's going on at all.
That would be so beautiful to me. Like, if everyone is, like, you know, Harvey and Lewis's battle over their love of Mike, and Mike is like, they're what? No.
What's happening? They put Cheez-Its in the vending machine.
Wow, Cheez-Its!
Hey, it comes up for free!
Oh.
But going back, I mean, I think that that was the part that pissed me off the most about the episode, right? Like, I didn't like this BS hacker secondary storyline that got shellacked onto it because there was a better way to do it, which we've discussed extensively.
Yes.
I didn't like them making Louis an idiot. Like, part of Louis's menace and part of the reason his character is so fantastic is because he's brilliant, but such a creep. You know, he's just such a smart creep. And he's hilariously smart and creepy. Mm-hmm. And now he's been completely neutered for me as a menace, like, in this episode, because he's such an incompetent moron.
I find the lack of consistency... So I understand that television shows are written by multiple people, but you need consistency. Right. And that's what... Remember when we were watching NCIS, and the first three seasons were amazing?
Good.
And then all of a sudden everything changed. Characters were not making sense anymore. Tony became, like, incredibly dumb.
It's, yeah, for, like, 5 seasons.
Like, 5 seasons of, sure, you were consistent in that there were 3 seasons of one thing and then 5 seasons of another, but you need to have 8 consistent seasons. And I think a lot of shows lose that really easily. Like, they seem to get sidetracked by a joke in the writing room or something. And yeah. It becomes a problem.
I think it has to do with the showrunners, right? Like, what's a show that's done consistency really well, I think, is actually White Collar.
Yes.
White Collar has kept its tone. It's kept the heart of the series right where it belongs between Peter, Elle, and Neil. Although, like, arguably in the last maybe 3 or 4 episodes, they've kind of gone away from that in not necessarily positive ways. But... I don't know how it is that some shows have this and other shows don't. But you're absolutely right, like the consistency thing. Although, I mean, this is Suits' first season, right? They could just be finding their footing, but I'm hoping that they go back to episode 3, 4, and 5. Because those were super, super excellent episodes, and they had a wonderful, like, sexy, smart tone. And
yeah,
they didn't have, like, shit show that was this episode. And it also wasn't the dumb expository dump that was the pilot. It's like the only show where I've been like, this pilot blows. I mean, it's objectionable compared to how good the rest of the series is.
I feel like, generally speaking, if the pilot of a show is terrible for me, like if I do not like the pilot, the rest of the season tends to be really good. Whereas things that have a really good pilot, they then kind of slack off for the rest of the series because they've already sold it based on that.
What about White Collar?
White Collar is an exception to a lot of rules, but what I was thinking of was The Mentalist.
The pilot of The Mentalist was great.
The pilot is amazing. Like, it's astounding. They had really amazing, like, it was showing, not telling. Like, the most beautiful example of showing, not telling I've ever seen on television. in, like, those 15 minutes in the first episode.
It's really good.
And while I enjoyed the rest of The Mentalist, after that it's just kind of middling.
The problem with The Mentalist is you and I have the same television tendencies, right? We don't necessarily watch stuff live. Right. We come into them later on and we buy all the DVDs or, like, download everything if we can't find it and watch it all in one go. And The Mentalist is not a show you can do that with.
No.
Because I consumed the first season and it was pretty good. And then I started watching the second season. Every episode was the exact same. And I started hating Jane.
Totally identical.
They were my favorite. They were completely identical.
Yeah. You know what? You will actually really like season three, though. Because the first half of season three, you're like, stuff is happening. And the second half of that season just becomes more and more intense. And at the end of it, it's the same level of quality, I would say, as the pilot.
Ooh,
like the season finale.
The season finale of three.
So amazing.
Well, nothing can deteriorate as badly as Hawaii Five-O did, right?
Oh my god. Okay, so Hawaii Five-O, you watched 20 episodes.
BT Dubs, spoilers.
Spoilers, big spoilers.
Not just spoilers for the season finale, but spoilers for spoilers that have been coming out recently. So
yes.
If you're not into that, I don't know what to tell you.
Fast forward for a while until you hear us talking about something else.
Yeah. Wait until you stop hearing me laughing, I guess.
And me crying. So, spoiler zone. 20 amazing episodes of Hawaii Five-O, in which everything is like...
Debatable.
For me, beautiful episodes, in which everything is gay, everything is like on a beach with flowers and pineapples, and people are basically...
You hate the beach.
I do hate the beach, but you know what I like? The beach on television. I don't like being at a beach. I don't like sand sticking to my feet. I don't like water that fish shit in. 20 episodes in which I was, like, in love with the show. Head over heels. Nothing could be gayer or more delightful other than Sherlock.
Worst 20 episodes of my life watching this from the set.
Followed by 4 episodes of What the Fuck Are You Smoking?
Although I have to say that it was, like, the season finale that was the one where... Watching it was kind of like watching a slow-motion train wreck. And, like, I have no emotional attachment to these characters. I watched the show because it was dumb, you know? It was, like, white noise entertaining filler for when I was cooking dinner. And then, just, like, I feel like the season finale was the one episode I actually... That's not true. There were 2 episodes where I had to stop and watch it intently.
What was the other one?
The P. Diddy episode.
Oh, my God, that was horrible.
That was, like, the worst hour of television I've ever watched. I sort of, like, I was sitting, you know, my kitchen. I was, like, in there, like, chopping something, and I was like, I have to put this knife down. I'm going to hurt myself. And I just got to the living room and just, like, watch it and, like, marvel at the terribleness of the whole thing.
I think they were just really excited to have P. Diddy on the show, and so they stopped writing, and they were just like, P. Diddy, what do you think would happen in a crime?
I heard that he wrote all of his own dialogue.
Are you serious? Because that would explain a lot.
That would explain a lot, right?
Yeah.
That was super awful. The best part of that episode was the opening when they're on the beach and they're playing that song, which I like.
Oh,
and
really?
And then no one is talking. Like, that's the best part of that episode.
Because I hated that.
And then when it was also good.
You know how I said I like the beach on TV, but I hate the beach in real life? My exception is anytime that it's like nobody is talking on a beach and there's some music playing, I also hate that.
Okay. Anyways, moving on to Hawaii Five-O.
So, 4 episodes in which all of a sudden, Danny is like, you know what's a good idea, even though the reasons that my wife and I separated made a lot of sense? Like, we're good bros, but we should not be married. I should fuck my ex-wife while she's married to someone else. Just confuse my daughter a little bit more. Maybe move off the island. And if Steve gets arrested while all this is happening for a crime he didn't commit, and the governor dies... Cool. And Chin decides to, like, fuck everything, and Kono is just like, I'm confused. Why not? Why not just throw that all together?
Why not?
I hate everything.
It was truly one of the biggest train wrecks I've ever seen in my life. Which has not been helped by the rumors of casting and filming that have come out since. So just to be clear, I know a lot about H5O, but it's entirely through osmosis. Like, I could not give 2 flaming shits about the show, but I'm surrounded by people who love it like an abusive boyfriend. So there's Lepagus who, like, keeps trying to make that happen, and it's not. I'm sorry, dude. I love you. I'm coming to see you in January, but it's not. And then there's you who, like, I don't know why. You just keep letting it punch you in the face. Even though you say you're not going to watch the next season, that's a lie.
No, I'm totally going to watch it. I'm just going to watch it as though I'm being punched in the, like, it's like going to a place to be smacked around. Like, I am going to be Merlin in this movie.
But, so, then the casting spoilers and the filming spoilers are amazing. So, like, Steve is apparently, like, Kath is coming back, and she has, like, a flower on one side of her head, which means she's single again, which either means Steve is out of prison and going to hit that, or something
conjugal
else
visits?
I don't know. I think there are, maybe Hawaiian conjugal visits are like that, but I don't, it was pretty. There were trees. I don't know. And they cast a new love interest for Danny, and I was like, what?
Yeah, they were basically like, so what we
just
had...
impregnate a lady you used to be married to?
Knock up your wife, your ex-wife, who is married to someone else, and, like, flee the island with your preggers ex-wife and your baby daughter. But then, you know what? Maybe you just fail out of that in, like, 2 weeks. And, bang another lady, while still breaking Steve's heart.
Still that. So bad.
I would also like to say that who are these ladies who are like, ooh, Danny, he's like 5 feet tall and lives in a shithole one-room apartment. I want to tap that.
Yeah, he's divorced and he has like an 8-year-old daughter and like he's partnered up with a psychopath and he's clearly demonstrated he has no ability to form a long-term relationship or properly utilize birth control. I'm all over that shit.
Look.
You know who those ladies are? Those ladies are the ones I went to college with. They exist.
I know. But here's my thing. I love Danny. I think he's great. I think Steve is all about that because Steve is like, wow, that's a really, like, that's a dude who's got his shit together. Because Steve is, like, the definition of surviving somehow while not having any of his shit together. So he thinks that, like, Danny is a good example.
Well, Steve basically would be more comfortable in a situation where he's been airdropped into the wilderness and has to drink his own urine to survive than, you know, in civilized society.
I know you and I have the love-hate relationship with this conversation, but I'm just going to throw it out there.
Good God, where is this going?
If Hawaii Five-0 were not Hawaii Five-0, if it were, like, the same characters, but it were the Sentinel, you know that Steve would be extremely...
Why do we keep having this fucking conversation?
Extremely successful. At that situation, like, just throw him into the wilderness and make him a sentinel, and he would be like, my life is amazing. Whereas, real Steve cannot survive in the real world. He doesn't know how to buy groceries. He doesn't know how to do anything that doesn't involve, like, flying a helicopter and shooting a gun. Yeah, I'm done. You can take a breath now. You guys can't see it, but Prue is fanning herself and laughing and crying. Because she can't breathe, because she hates this conversation so much. You know me.
Can we talk about Suits again?
Yeah, we can talk about Suits again.
Oh, God. Do not introduce the Sentinel anymore.
No more Sentinel today.
No! That's Mike is not a Sentinel, Harvey is not a Sentinel, Lewis is not a Sentinel, no one is a Sentinel.
No more Sentinel today. That's the most I can give you.
I'll take it. Let's move on.
Okay.
In retrospect, right, let's talk about Suits as a show in general. There were only 8 episodes, I think, that it kind of hit with a splash in terms of fandom.
Yep.
Although it's hard to gauge. Like, in the old days when a show came on, you could tell its popularity by the volume of fic that it puked out and how much people were writing meta about it. Those sorts of things don't really happen anymore, except through Tumblr, and there are tons and tons of people involved in Tumblr and the Tumblr pictures that have nothing to do with the fandom itself. Like, they may just really enjoy making graphics. And then the kink meme is a difficult one to reliably track because the level of engagement on that is not as high. Do you know what I mean? It's easy to check in and out.
It's
and
also
so you can't really tell the volume of fandom anymore.
And with all of the anonymity on the meme, it's hard to tell exactly how many people are involved.
Yes.
I mean, you
or
know
I'm
how...
secretly, anonymously prompting everything on that meme.
A.K.A. me.
I didn't say you.
It's me. Just prompting everything.
I helped with some of them.
You did. You have been responsible for some terrible lingo that I'm not going to reveal.
For some terrible lingo that I'm... Yeah, no, it's probably good that we keep that tucked.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I can't tell whether or not it's got a huge fanish following, but I think it has a healthy one.
It's clearly doing well enough if they've already said that they're doing a second season of 16 episodes.
Yes, which I'm excited about.
I'm very excited for it because it means continual filming in my area.
I know. I did enjoy. So I don't know if everyone keeps track of Emma Klutz's Twitter feed, but it definitely made me laugh out loud the other day. When she was looking through my photos from when I was in Toronto visiting, and she was like, "What? That's not Toronto. That's New York." And it's just like, "Ah, Emma Klutz." It's Toronto for New York in Toronto, not even trying to be New York. So good job.
Yeah, when I actually went to New York, half of me was like, "Oh, this is quite different than it looks on TV." And then I was like, ah, maybe I have not explored Toronto well enough. Maybe that's what my real problem is. My best friend...
My visit to you was the first time that you'd ever been to St. Lawrence Market. I think that that's probably an accurate statement.
Yeah, my best friend has this plan, which we have yet to follow through with, in which she just sticks me on one of those Toronto tour buses, or like a bunch of them, over a period of time in the summer, and like makes me explore the city, and also adds, like, walking maps that I have to follow.
Nice.
Yeah. It seems because like a good idea.
Yeah. You can't live in the annex your whole life. So what do we think? Okay, so one of the things that's actually intrigued me about Suits is that they keep dropping these deeply unsubtle hints about Harvey's, like, secret past angst. Mm-hmm. So what do we know? We know that he used to work in the DA's office.
Yep.
And that he probably lost somebody. Seems to have lost something.
Right.
He has, like, an interesting, like, he's, like, an interesting character to me because he has that row of basketballs and then row of baseballs. So initially, before I saw the baseballs, I thought that he was probably, like, college athlete, hurt himself, then went to law school.
And
then we know that he was, like, a fuck-up who started in the mailroom. I don't know. Like, so I'm curious. What's his deal?
My impression from the discussion... There was, like, some dialogue between him and Jessica in either the first, like, the first couple of episodes, where my understanding was that he came from, like, an underprivileged family, and she, like, discovered him and made him who he is today, basically, which explains kind of the dichotomy in him.
I don't know. The reason I'm saying in spoilers for Suits, by the way, because I'm a spoiler fiend. Apparently, in the next couple of episodes, we're going to meet Harvey's old mentor at the DA's office.
I also heard, spoilers, that Mike has to save Harvey in upcoming episodes. I'm looking forward to that a lot.
You can't see it, but I'm giving, like, the biggest shit-eating grin and a thumbs up!
You're such an asshole.
I'm so excited about this.
I'm excited for Mike to be a douche about it after the fact.
Mike's always a douche. It's great.
The only time he wasn't a douche is when Harvey was like, "Don't use this card to buy strippers." And Mike got very uncomfortable.
I feel like the truth being that Mike has never been to a strip club in his life. Every single guy I've ever talked to about strip clubs, which is a surprising number, probably not surprising to you, but which is a surprising number to me, has always said that they don't like strip clubs and that they are really uncomfortable and nobody actually ever wants to go.
Well,
and the types of people who do like strip clubs are basically sexual predators.
Right. Well, combine that with the fact that Mike was raised by his grandma, right? That boy had some strong female people in his life.
The boy's adorbs. I can't believe he kept the Mike doll, by the way.
Oh my god, so creepy. I would have to burn that thing in a fire.
I'm so surprised, A, that he kept the Mike doll, and B, that he didn't have it turned to face the wall so the creepy doll eyes couldn't follow him around the room.
Right. Like,
yeah,
that's the beginning of a horror movie right there.
It's Bad News Bears.
Yes, it is. I don't care how nice that lady was.
That lady, I don't care how nice she was either. No one gives you a possessed evil doll.
No. And anyone who makes dolls of real people, creepy.
Yeah, definitely. If Mike had known her longer, I would have said that she collected his hair to make it.
How do you know she didn't drug his tea and do it then, Inception style?
I think Mike would have noticed missing a large chunk of his hair.
I think she would just... I think she would carefully take individual strands while he was unconscious.
Why have you thought about this so much?
I just thought about it now. That's how creepy I am. I just came up with that on the spot.
I wish you guys could see her face as she's saying this. It's totally Dexter.
That's why we're not allowed to watch Dexter anymore.
Yeah, especially since you agree with him.
Listen, vigilante...
Don't.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to argue for vigilante justice.
At least not on this podcast.
Forever.
Not on this podcast.
Sister-in-law and I are forbidding it.
Well, you don't live in Toronto yet, so I still have some time.
Jesus Christ, I need to get Andrea's phone number. Protect us all.
It's okay. If I ever tried to commit vigilante justice, I'd probably just wind up in hospital.
You fail out so hard.
I'm fine. I'm just bleeding profusely. It's fine.
I was going to commit vigilante justice, but then I found this cool thing in Glitch and got distracted.
Glitch is really fun.
Oh, baby, I know. Okay, so last suits thing.
Okay.
I've come up with, like, three topics. It's your turn now.
Oh. Well, then I think we should discuss some of the, like, weird... You know when a fandom starts and you can see the tropes that develop just from the first few episodes and then carry on until, like, the second season?
Yes.
Like in Merlin, when there were only, what was it, like 6 episodes out for the first half of the first season? Stuff that happened in that has, like, it still appears in fan fiction as this is totally normal, happens all the time, even though clearly in the show that is not the case. It just happens that when you have such a small field of source material to work with, people are like, well, these are the 5 things that we have to focus on. Yes. So, 5 things that come up in Suits fandom, like, all the time, clearly, according to the meme.
Okay.
1, bike accidents or being hit by a car.
Yes.
All the time. It's like, Mike gets hit by a car on his bike. Mike hits a car on his bike.
Well, Mike has not been hit by a car or hit a car on his bike yet on the show.
No, but it's just because he's riding a bike that this arises.
Yep.
2, Harvey buying Mike clothes. Like, buying him all the clothes. Which, don't get me wrong, is so good for me. But I don't actually think that that's... Like, I don't think Harvey would do that.
Nope.
I love it, but it's implausible. Harvey takes care of number 1.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, he does.
3, Donna being, like, Mike's best friend. I don't think they're there yet. I think they are becoming a little better with each other, but it's going to take time.
Yeah, definitely. Donna's becoming more amused by him than insulted by his presence.
Yes. She's kind of, like, haughty, and, you know, Mike doesn't quite aspire to the levels that she would consider the baseline.
Yeah, I mean, it's also kind of to turn everything into pets, right? It's like if you get a new... I don't think dogs are as bad about this, so it's more like cats. If you got, like, a new kitten...
It has to get...
Like, an old cat, and the older cat has to get used to the kitten.
Yeah. That's exactly how it is. Donna is, like, the boss cat that has been in this house for a couple years. And Mike is, like, the really dumb new kitten that she's going to have to train up. What else has happened constantly in Suits fandom?
Well, Mike seems to be, like, a magnet for abuse in general. I mean, there's always one character in any given slash pairing, but just... has the worst of luck in terms of everything. I mean, and Mike is definitely the designated abusey
In that case, I'm going to say that's basically canon. Like, Mike just attracts danger.
That's funny.
It's like one of the few times in which I'm like, yep, that's accurate to the show. You're like in Merlin fandom.
Mike really does attract dicks.
Yeah.
Mike really does.
He's like a dick magnet, and not in a good way.
Yeah, not like Merlin.
No. Merlin's a dick magnet in the best of ways. Mike is like the, why am I being punched in the face repeatedly, dick magnet.
Worry about much. Dude, I worry about him so much. He has zero agency.
Do you worry about him constantly? Like, he doesn't really
know. I worry about him constantly.
I thought so.
I worry about him constantly. Because the thing is that Mike doesn't have any efficacious agency. Like, whenever he gets really mad and decides to stand up for himself, he doesn't in a way that's, like, a hissy fit. The way that you threw at your parents when you were 14 is completely pointless and thereby, you know, strengthening their point that you're incapable of taking care of yourself.
You know what?
They just come back crawling to Harvey at the end. And all I want to be like is I need to take you to a women's leadership conference.
That's so basically what happened this week in Suits, though. You know when Mike goes into Harvey's office and, like, yells at him? Yeah. And when he storms out of the office in a huff, like a total huff. And Harvey just has this, like, cute-ass grin on his face. Like, that was adorable. He tried to hit me with his paws. He forgot to put his claws out. You know what
that grin is? That grin is like, damn it, my girlfriend is cute when she has PMS. I hate that grin! That grin is so patronizing and bullshit. Like, Mike had a legitimate point. Like, Harvey was, like, completely able to disregard it because Mike was incapable of making his point in a non, like, hysterical female problems way. You know, and I need for him to, like, be a grown-up. I need for him to be a grown-up.
I think Mike's grandma feels the same way.
I think Mike's grandma worries about him constantly, like Mycroft does.
She can't die until he's been taken care of. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I think those tropes are going to live. I think it's also going to be really interesting to see... I think it's unfortunate that they sort of deus machinaed Mike's lack of paperwork at Harvard. I understand why they did it, but at the same time, it sort of removes the original premise of the show, and now you have basically a lawyer show, a buddy cop lawyer show, which is fine, but it takes away some of that essential tension.
I guess, but I never thought that the tension was... that realistic anyway, because we know that you don't need a law degree to practice law in New York.
Yeah, but you do have to have passed the bar.
Which he did.
But he didn't take it under valid circumstances.
He took it at least once under valid circumstances.
He wasn't even in law school yet when he got run out of college.
I think that's fine.
I made Marilyn look that up.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you have to have taken at least a year of law school, I think. Okay. Someone, like, correct me if this is wrong, and if Mike does actually have the right credentials for this, but I think that he doesn't.
At any rate, it's still less dangerous than they made it appear.
I suppose. Although I think it's, at this point it's like a reputational issue, right?
Right.
For Pearson Hartman.
They can always send him to Harvard later. He'll just test out.
I suppose. I'm also curious about Hartman.
I want to know who, the other name partner is.
Yeah, they've never mentioned him.
That's got to come up. Pearson.
Which makes me think that he's definitely going to come into play. Maybe as a big baddie during the second season.
That would be amazing. So I think one of the weird things this week is most weeks Suits is like, Harvey and Mike are adorable and solve cases.
Yes.
And this week it was Harvey and Lewis are adorable. And solve cases.
Except Harvey and Lewis weren't adorable.
No, they were kind of creepy.
Harvey and Lewis were weirdly, unnecessarily petty and antagonistic toward one another, which made both of them seem unprofessional and like idiots. And while I can believe the petty, unprofessional part, the part where Lewis had to turn into a moron to make that work, did not like that at all.
They both came off like little kids to me, like angry boys on a playground.
Exactly.
And I think what the writers were going for was, like, old married couple. But it didn't work.
I don't know. I personally think that they were shooting more for petty. I think that they were shooting for petty kids on a playground. But I think that, to me, that didn't work either. Because it made them both act like such morons. And they're both way too smart for that. Even if you're going to go with the whole pettiness made them dumb thing, it needed to be convincing, and this was not convincing.
Yeah. I just felt really not charmed by it the way that, like, normally I would be charmed by an episode of Suits.
If you had asked me before last week whether or not I would have enjoyed an episode where Lewis and Harvey are stuck working together and have no choice about it, I would have been like, hells to the yes. This would have been awesome. I love it when intelligently antagonistic people are stuck with one another.
Yeah, you do.
It sucked.
It did suck.
A classically good episode of the same sort of thing, to draw from another lawyer show, actually, is the episode of The Good Wife wherein Carrie gets called in when he's high on shrooms.
Oh my god, yeah.
And he and Alicia have to work together on a case, and it's brilliant, you know? They don't really like each other. They're in direct competition for this one associate spot.
But they support each other.
They do, and it was really cleverly done, you know?
It's one of my favorite episodes of Good Wife.
I'm just real weak to Carrie being on shrooms.
Obviously.
Carrie being on shrooms is one of the best things that ever happened to me. But the point is that The Good Wife did it much better than Suits did.
To be fair, The Good Wife is better written just overall by, like, a huge leap.
By enormous leaps and bounds. But it lacks other charms that come with Suits.
Yes.
So, I
watched them for different reasons.
Yeah. So agreed that Suits didn't quite stick the landing on that one. And what the hell is this Lewis Litt murdering a dude thing?
Okay, so I was reading the kink meme, or the meme, before I watched the episode. And all I knew about the episode...
You can't reference every answer with the kink meme.
I can't, but this is, like, what really happened. All I knew about the episode before I went into it was that, one, Lewis Litt killed a man, and two, Harvey Specter wore a hard hat, and it was probably pretty sexy. Those are, like, the two key things that people picked up on. Which, by the way, is a terrible way to go into the episode, because I'm like, wow, Harvey does look great in that hard hat. And then I was just waiting for Lewis to kill a dude, and he didn't kill a dude. That guy had, like, a heart problem. And Lewis was a little bit mean to him, and then he died.
Well, I think that, basically, there are a couple of things about that scene that bothered me, right? And the whole Lewis killing a dude fiasco from this episode. Number one, agreed. Lewis didn't kill a guy. That guy had heart embolism. He died. He was under a lot of stress. Not even just from Lewis yelling at him. Number two, what the fuck was that deposition? Like, have those guys ever talked to the lawyer before? I don't care how bad they think their in-house counsel is. That would have never flowed.
No.
Come on.
I feel like they need to get a couple more lawyer people that they can talk to working on the show as, like, research.
Yeah, or whoever they are consulting, they need to actually listen to them.
Yeah.
But yeah, if they have legal consultants, they should attempt to listen to them.
Agreed.
Deposition was bullshit. Seriously. Just watching it, I was, like, pulling my hair out. I was like, I don't have a law degree. I would have been like, excuse me? Like, what are you doing? Shut up, Lewis Litt.
I'm actually really disappointed by the fact that they spend the whole episode telling you that Lewis Litt is, like, a financial genius.
Yes!
And the only thing we see of it is that he can memorize a number. Like, and, like, find some money in a bank. Which, okay, finding the money, impressive. But could we not have more? Like, if he is the best man in the firm for the job, he should have been way more useful.
Yeah, I feel like, to be fair, the only reason I'm going to cut them a pass on that one is that, A, that's clearly not what they were actually trying to focus on, right? That was not the point of the episode for them. I think the fact that Lewis was the financial crimes genius of the firm is a throwaway line in order to force them to work together.
Right.
But B, also, because forensic accounting is incredibly boring. Like, actually digging into financial crimes is gruesomely boring. And anyone who's ever been forced to, like, read through a 10K knows that I don't have to see a 10K.
Right.
On a show.
No, that's fair enough. I'm not saying that it would be interesting, but I just wanted them to either do it or not do it. And if you're going to do it, if you're going to, like, have those lines, you better damn well commit and be ready to do it well.
They did do... Okay, the closing scene where the three of them are finally working together to solve the crime was interesting.
No, yeah, I liked that. That was interesting, but that was, like, 3 minutes of the episode.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's fair.
Yeah.
It was not the strongest episode so far.
No, I would say it's probably one of the weakest episodes so far, but, you know, it's Suits, so I like it anyway.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I would actually say it's probably the worst episode of the series.
So far.
So far. I mean, there's always aspirationally lower.
I'm really hoping that that's the worst episode of the season, but, I mean, look at Hawaii Five-0. I just want to be ready for the shit hitting the fan.
It does seem like the shows you really love enjoy hurting you.
They do. Where's the shows that I'm like, that show is fine, sometimes just astound me with genius.
I know. Whereas, see, the difference between you and me, though, is that I bail, and I stay bailed.
I don't bail.
You never bail, and then you keep tricking me back into those fandoms. Like, House is the classic case, but I'm never doing it again. I don't care what you say.
No, I am also fully broken up with House at this point. They reached my breaking point.
Yeah, but you tricked me back into House fandom. Do you not remember this?
I do, but it's not like I'm going to re-trick you again.
I don't believe you.
You should.
I don't. Because you also tricked me back into Eureka.
Which is really good right now. You should see the face that Prue is making right now, guys. It's beautiful. She's clearly displeased with me. Okay, moving on. Did you want to do FicRex for this week?
We did. We wanted to do FicRex for this week. And since we're incapable of staying on one fanish topic, we thought these can be FicRex across our fandoms. So M. Klutz actually has a Suits one, so she gets to go first.
So my favorite story this week is Not a Problem by Jane Davitt, which is... in theory, a plot what plot, but it's more than that, and it hits all my kinks, it's amazing, somehow nothing happens, but everything happens, and it's
a... Whoa, I read that story, some stuff happens.
Some stuff happens, but it's, like, sexual, and yet, like, there's character stuff that happens almost, like, I don't want to say incidentally, because it's what makes the story so good, but it's so... perfectly together.
Yes, it's woven into some fantastically sexually NC-17 stuff with a tie.
Yes.
Okay, and my FicRec for the week is X-Men First Class, because I have not managed to stop being in love with the tragic romance Charles Xavier and Eric Lynch yet, and this rec is so completely out of character for me. 100% of the time, if someone tells me to read something because there are cats in it, I will probably avoid it assiduously because there are cats in it. But this one I'm voluntarily doing. It's Humane Society, written by Smile Backwards. I think that's the author name. But let me double check. It's basically a story where Eric Lenscher gets turned into a kitten for 3 weeks. He attempts to recruit a mutant... doesn't go well for him. She turns him into a kitten, and Charles finds him. And because Charles Xavier, I think we can all agree, is the most pathetic cat lady of all time, immediately starts buying crap tons of cat material and taking kitten Eric on walks. This sounds like an awful story from the way that I'm describing it, but it's incredibly charming, really witty, so funny, and at one point it uses the term savaging a jogger, which... is enough to win my heart for all time. And it has a really interesting thread about the philosophy of mutant supremacy that Eric Lenscher holds, and I adore it. The other story that both of us are actually keeping our eyes peeled for this week is we're both, like, super ultra eagle-eye watching the Vila Mike prompt on Suits Meme.
I'm so excited.
I'm so excited also.
Everything I wanted.
It's a story wherein Mike is a Vila, or part Vila, and it's a Hogwarts AU.
Obviously.
How could we resist?
Obviously, Harvey is a Slytherin, and Mike is a Ravenclaw, which is perfect.
So beautiful.
So beautiful. And, you know, McGonagall is there. Like, everyone you love is there. And it's a beautiful
yes.
Vila AU. You should read it.
Yes. You should definitely read it. It's on the Suits Kink meme.
On the second round.
There are only a couple parts so far, but even that, is totally delicious.
I'm really into it. You'll like it.
Psyched. I think that's it. We're looking forward to next week.
Yeah. See you all next week.
Dude, ciao.